bow your heads, please, and pray for me while the ushers please shut the doors as we wait for the last of you folks to come in and be seated. Michael Astor did pass away yesterday. His grandparents, Thelma and Ken Hine, were charter members of this church. His mother, Cynthia, and his two brothers grew up here. And the Laster family rejoined here, Jim, Cynthia, and the three boys within the last two or three years. And so some of us have been associated with this family for 30 years. Cynthia's the young mother who is in a wheelchair as a result of a tragic accident in her life when she was 18. And so now we come to the question of where is God? And do we trust God? And God, if you're good, why do you allow things like this to happen to good people? Well, I want you to know that Cynthia, in her faith in God, was able to receive Jim's proposal of marriage, able to bear three children and raise them by faith. Now, you just think about that. How could you do that? God has allowed it. I think He chooses us to go through things because we can bear witness to Him, and we're the ones who can do it because He chose us to do it. I want you to go with me to the Hubble telescope and look behind Mars at all those pictures, not just the in the Old Testament, God said He created all the stars and knows them all by name. There are a million galaxies, and He created every one of them, and He's in control of all of them. He named them all. Yet Jesus said that He knows our hairs, their number. He knows when every sparrow falls. So I want you to think of God's sovereignty and God's control from that perspective. He is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipowerful, omnipotent. That is our God. He is not as we see Him. If we see Him, we fret and groan. And if you want to, it's okay to shake your fist at God about Michael or about something else that happened in your life. He's so big He can handle it, because even at the right time when we were separated from Him and pagans, He sent Jesus for us. At the right time, He created all of us. Psalm 139 says He knows us from the beginning of the world. Did this take Him by surprise? Michael's passing away? No, it did not. Bad for us, good for Michael. What's Michael doing right now? Huh? He's rejoicing before the throne with God. Can you deny that? Please struggle with it. Cry out to God. You know, rant and rave. Go scream, cuss if you want to. But picture Him naming all those millions of galaxies with every star and knowing the number of your hair. That's how I want you to remember Michael. How can you help this family? You can pray for them. You can be there with them for the next however long it takes. I want you to know this church family showed up, as did, I can't say enough about the baseball coaches, the godly men at Irmo High School. They were there with the boys and their families. They showed up, and so did we. So you can show up the next however long it takes. But just remember God like that. And if you want to fret and struggle, that's okay. He's big enough to handle it. But if you're a child of His, you'll come down on the right side. Pray with me now. Father in heaven, yes, Lord, these are tough times. And this is the only way I know to get through is to come back to You. And Father, as is a custom with our elders in a session meeting, when we reach our limits of understanding, we hold our hands out and lay it on the table, and we stop and pray. And the prayer goes something like this: Lord, we don't have a clue, but we hold out our hands to you. And those of you out there, if you want to right now, hold your hands out, palms down. And as the celebration of and the ceremony of washing of the hands was a ceremonial, you can just brush your hands off, hold your palms down, and ask God to relieve and remove and dump the trash. Turn them up and literally hold your hands out and ask God to fill them with love, hope, and power. For we are not made of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We will be able to overcome this by God's power, and so will this family by God's power. It's all about Him. We react or we respond. Father, thank you for showing up. We hold out our hands, Father. In the name of Jesus, we hold out our hands. Not for us, but for you to feel your glory. Make us messengers in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Congregation, please, while you're seated, I'm going to ask you what you believe. And as a guide, we'll have the Apostles' Creed up here. Christians, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered.
Morning. This morning we're going to be looking at Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 16. Is that in the Old or New Testament? No, just I won't treat you like children. As you're turning there, anytime I get the phone call from Carl, he goes, "You got something in your craw? You want to preach? You got something stewing? You got something cooking?" And I go, "I can find something." And been working with Rock this semester, and we've been looking at The Prodigal God, a book by Timothy Keller. And so I thought, you know what, I see Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees, and I see how the Pharisees interacted with him, and I saw his teaching in the parables, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go to the Old Testament, because I'm sure we can find the same kind of interaction, we can find the same kind of story in the Old Testament. And as Carl called me on Monday, or texted me actually, he says, "Have you got a title? Have you got a text? You got something we can put in the bulletin?" And I said, "Well, I'm circling a couple of things. When's my deadline?" And as God always works, I was circling around a couple of texts and did not realize kind of why I landed where I landed until earlier this morning and finding of Michael's passing, is that God is the Good Shepherd, and He is the one who will seek us out. He is the one who will rescue us. He is the one who will strengthen us no matter what is going on in our lives. So as we turn to God's Word, let's ask Him to be the Good Shepherd and teach us this morning. Ezekiel 34, verse 11, reading from the New American Standard, translation of God's holy and infallible Word. "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to your word. So this morning we pray that your Spirit would come, that the messenger could decrease, and that you might increase. That your word would go forth and not come back void. Lord, I know in my own heart and studying this passage this week and wrestling with it and trying to come to understand it, it just seems like the word that keeps coming back is rest. You're the good shepherd, and you come and you provide rest. And so this morning I pray that you would send your Spirit, that you would teach us what it means that you are the good shepherd. You are the one that seeks. You're the one that snatches us up out of whatever circumstances and whatever we've put ourselves into or whatever life has brought us. And you're the one that binds our wounds and strengthens us. And all we have to do as good sheep is to lie down and rest. So this morning I pray that you would come and you would teach us about our good shepherd and teach us about resting in you. For we pray it in the name of the one who came and gave his life for us. Amen. If you look at this passage, and I didn't read verses 1 through 10, and I didn't read 17 to the end, but you see that there were bad shepherds in the first part of the chapter, and God deals with the fat, proud sheep at the end of the passage. I wanted to focus in the middle. So literally, I think in writing this, God's giving us the contrast of the bad shepherds, the fat sheep, and then in the middle of it, he says, this is who I am. And I want to focus this morning on who God is. At your own leisure, you can go back and look at all the bad sheep, the bad shepherds, and the fat sheep. But this morning, I'd like for us to focus at the contrast of the good shepherd. This is a good shepherd who is protecting his sheep from dangers on the outside. He's protecting them from the bad shepherds. He's protecting them from dangers on the inside. He is protecting them, a very protective God and shepherd. And I want to remind you, and anytime you read in the Old Testament, I think it's good to be reminded that God's view of history is not one of, okay, this happens, and then all of a sudden this happens. He doesn't do that. He looks through history. So he's literally pointing, and if you read further in the text, where I didn't read, is God is talking about the nation of Israel. He says, David is going to be the good shepherd. David's going to come and draw you together. So as it looks through history, saying, I am the good shepherd, David is the good shepherd, but he is also pointing forward to Christ, who is going to be the good shepherd. So in reading this passage and being the good shepherd, he is pointing to, all the way through history, I am the good shepherd, David is the good shepherd, Christ is the good shepherd, and I think he's also telling us that we should be good shepherds of the sheep he puts under us. Okay? So there's multiple layers. Anytime you read the Old Testament, God's looking through history. He doesn't look, okay, here, and then he bounces over here like we study history. He's looking straight through it. One thing can point to several things. And in this text, I think that's what's happening. Charles Simeon on this passage says that there is no office under heaven so important as the ministering unto men the gospel of Christ. But alas, its importance is too little felt, and its duties are too neglectfully performed. There is, however, one shepherd whose care and vigilance are without intermission, God our Father and Christ our Savior. So I'd ask you this morning, because Christ is the seeking, snatching, and strengthening shepherd, you and I must rest. So So let's look at our passage. Let's see what the good shepherd does for his sheep so that we might be able to come, lie down, and rest under the care of that shepherd. Look at verses 11 and 12. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep. So I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on the cloudy and gloomy day. So we see here that God is going to search out. He is going to seek. And literally, in Hebrew, these are two different words when he says searching out and seeking. There is a searching which has to do with I will account for each one of them. There's an accounting. I'm going to search them out so that I can account for each of my sheep. Not one will be lost. There is this sense of there's a required reckoning. There have been 100 sheep given to me. I will count it out and search, in the sense of I will give account for each one of those sheep that were given to me. Not one will be lost. That is the searching he does. And the seeking is that he's going to investigate. He is going to go and he's going to inquire. And we see later in the passage that he is also going to differentiate between the fat sheep, strong sheep, and those that are needy sheep. He's going to separate those two. So there is a seeking and a sense of inquiring. I don't know about you, but that's pretty intense seeking. That's pretty intense searching. As I said in the children's sermon, you know, God will not lose one of his children. He will not. It doesn't matter where you go. And in a minute, we're going to see that he not only goes out to find them, he will deliver them. And the word literally is he'll snatch them up. He will not lose a one. I find it interesting if you read this passage, and just take a second. I want you to look down at this passage. What phrase do you see more than any other phrase? And I didn't stop to count it. I'll give you a hint. It starts with I and ends with will. Do you see it? I will. I will. I will. I will. And then I got to looking and going, gosh, God's doing a lot of stuff. The good shepherd is really busy. For me as a sheep, what am I doing? Allowing the good shepherd to set the stage, to clean up, make things safe, so that I can lie down and rest. Gosh, I kind of like that. No, I don't. You don't either. We don't like lying down and resting. We don't like it that God's going to go out there and I'm going to seek you out. I don't know about you, but ask my wife. I won't even admit I'm lost. Honey, don't you think we ought to go and ask somebody where we're going? Nah, I know where I'm going. I see some of the wives laughing, the elbow in the side. I don't like being lost. I don't even acknowledge I'm lost. So how can I have someone come seeking after me? I'm not going to call 911 and have somebody come find me. I'm not lost. So I don't know about you, but I don't even like to admit I'm a lost sheep. I'll find my way. All the more reason that we're the ones that God would have to seek after. You know, I went to a Presbyterian school, but God put a Baptist roommate in my room for 3.5 years. We had great theological discussions. He said he was at a Presbyterian school as a missionary. And I asked him how that went. It was predestined he'd be there. And it was predestined he'd be put in the room with me. Which, of course, he said was his punishment for all the sins he'd committed in the past. But we used to have the debate, and the analogy was, you know what, I really don't think we, in our fallen state, think we're really that dead. We're really that lost. I think I can find my way. Don't turn there, because it's a very short phrase. I want to read for you Ephesians 2, verse 1, and it's very clear. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. It doesn't say, Jim, you were sick. Jim, you kind of had a cold or the flu. You know, I think it's just the H1N1. Let's get a little vaccination. No, it says you were dead. Now, I don't know how y'all read that, but the picture I told my roommate in college is, you know, Russ, I kind of think that you see it as we are sick in our caskets. That somehow I'm going to be able to reach out to God. This says, no, we're dead in our sins. Nailed shut. Someone has to come and snatch you out. Someone has to come and rescue you. You can't save yourself, dead in your sins. I'm lost. You're lost. We're dead in our sins. Thank God that we have a good shepherd that will come and seek. He will come and find, intensely searching to find each of his own. So I think the point is, you can't hide. You can't pass off with some of your own righteousness as though you got some health. You know, I'm not completely dead. If you ever watch Monty Python, you know, as they're bringing these people out after the plague, I'm not dead yet. I feel better. No, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. You're not going to get there on your own. So then maybe we need to depend on the good shepherd's seeking. Acknowledge that we're lost. Then what does he do once he finds us? Verses 12 and 13. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I was thinking this morning, it turned into a cloudy and gloomy day, didn't it? But it literally says, I will find them, I will care for them, I will deliver them from the places to which they were scattered. And that word deliver literally has the connotation of he will rescue, he will snatch up. And it's not like, he really comes in and snatches us up out of the middle of whatever we're in. It could have been something we put ourselves in, the lost sheep, just kind of wandering away from the herd, and in comes the wolf, and he comes and he snatches them up right from harm's way. It could be that I have chosen to be in sin. God will snatch you up. Now, when I hear that word, growing up, if I ever was out somewhere, I could hear my parents, particularly my father, who would say, son, if you do that again, I'll snatch you up by the nape of the neck. Now, we grew up raising dogs, and if you know anything about dogs or cats, you can grab them by the nape of the neck and it doesn't hurt them as puppies, and you'd snatch them up by the nape of the neck, you know, and get them out of harm's way. And this is literally the picture, I think, that God is painting. I will search, I will seek, I will find you, and I'm going to snatch you up. I don't know about you, but when we had those puppies, when we would go and snatch them up, they didn't have anything to do with it. They didn't have anything to do with it. It was all about us snatching them up. And just as it is in this passage, God is the seeker and God is the snatcher. Dr. Andrew Bonner tells how in the highlands of Scotland, a sheep would often wander off into the rocks and get into places that they couldn't get out of. The grass on these mountains is very sweet, and the sheep like it. And they will jump down 10 or 12 feet, and then they can't jump back up again. And the shepherd hears them bleeding in distress. They may be there for days until they've eaten all the grass. The shepherd will wait until they are faint. They cannot stand. And then he will put a rope around him, and he will go over the edge. He'll pull that sheep up out of the jaws of death. Now, why does he not go down and get them before they're fainting? Why does he not go down before? He says that that sheep are so foolish that they will dash right over the precipice, and they'll kill themselves in doing it. And that's why, with men, they won't go back to God till they have no friends, have lost everything. If they have wandered off, it is the good shepherd that will come, tie them up, and bring them to safety. That's God snatching us. And there's times in our lives, and you know all too well, that we've wandered off into sweeter grass, and God has waited. It doesn't happen immediately, but in time, God comes, and he snatches us up right off the edge of the precipice. So let me ask you, have you been snatched up by God? Are you in the middle of a circumstance right now that you need God to snatch you up? Whether it's that you've just lost your way, maybe you haven't been focused on Christ, as the Scriptures tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Have you kind of started focusing on all these things and lost your way? Have you gotten in the middle of a sin and wandered your way in, and now it's gotten a hold of you? Because you know God will seek you out, and God will snatch you up. But are you willing to say, God, I'm lost. I can't get out of this. I'm helpless. I need you to come find me, and I need you to snatch me up. And then thirdly, we look at verses 14 through 16. What does he do once he snatches us up? Ah, all the more reason to stay lost in his arms. What does he say? I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. And to say, to get out of the way, there's some fat sheep. And fat sheep literally are those proud, self-sufficient, self-righteous people who really don't need the shepherd in their minds. They're taking care of themselves. Another sermon. Charles Spurgeon, in talking about verses 14 and 15 here, says, these verses elaborate on Yahweh's shepherding style. In contrast to the self-serving rulers of Israel, he promises to graze the flock in fine meadows and on the lofty mountains of Israel. The effects of his care are described from the sheep's perspective is that they will lie down, that is, they'll be secure in good pasture. They will graze in fertile meadows. The same ideas are reiterated in verse 15 throughout though the addition of the emphatic, I myself, Yahweh says, personally, and my personal role is to provide rest for my sheep. God says, I will feed, I will lead, I will seek, I will bring back, I will bind, and I will strengthen. All of this for the purpose of rest. Do you need rest today? I sat this morning, I have four children, and one of them being 15, and if I'm not mistaken, Michael is 15. There's a family that needs rest. There are those around the family that need rest. Is it the sin in your life you've been struggling with for a while? Do you need rest? Problems in your family? Do you need rest? Have you lost your way? Do you need rest? I don't know about you, but when I lose my way, I get frantic, especially if I'm on a time frame. Now I got a phone that's got a wonderful GPS. I'm never lost. I have a little woman's voice, tells me where to go. But do you have a GPS? The God positioning system? God seeks. God rescues and snatches us up. God's the one that strengthens us and binds us up when we're wounded so that we can lie down and rest under his watchful eye. Philip Keller, once a shepherd himself, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, relates, the strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. First, due to their timidity, they must be free from all fear. Next, because of their sociability, they must be free from friction with others of their kind. Third, they must be free from flies or parasites if they're to relax. Lastly, they will not lie down unless free from hunger. It is only the shepherd who can provide release from all these anxieties. As our good shepherd, the Lord meets all those needs for us so that we can lie down in green pastures with our souls restored by his care. If you think you're going to, by your own strength and power, get rid of your anxiety so you can relax and rest, you're fooling yourself. And that's what this passage is saying. God will take care of all that so that we can lie down and rest. I will say this morning, because Christ is the seeking, snatching, and strengthening shepherd, we must rest. What are you resting in? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you that you are Heavenly Father and that you love us. And most of all, you are the good shepherd. You are the one that comes and meets our needs. Lord, forgive us for the times that we don't even acknowledge that we're lost. Forgive us for the times that we think we can save ourselves from our dilemmas, our sins, and the circumstances around us. Forgive us for the times that we think we can heal ourselves, we can take care of our wounds, that we can strengthen ourselves. Lord, this morning, teach us how to be good sheep. Allow you to be the good shepherd so that we might be able to lie down and rest in your pastures even this day. And we look forward to the day that we can truly lie down and rest in your pastures in heaven, in the place that you're preparing for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand.
He will wipe away your tears, return your wasted years. This is our God. So call upon his name. He is mighty to save. This is our God.
A father to the healer to the broken, this is our God. He brings peace to our madness and comfort in our sadness. This is our God. So call upon his name. He is mighty to save. This is our God. This is the one we have waited for. This is the one we have waited for. This is the one we have waited for. Jesus,
fountain for the thirsty, a shepherd for the lonely. This is our God. He brings glory to the humble and crowns for the faithful. This is our God. So call upon His name. He is mighty to save. This is our God. This is the one we have waited for. This is the one we have waited for. This is the one we have waited for. Jesus, Lord and Savior. Jesus, Lord and Savior. This is our God. This is our God.
Receive now the benediction of our Lord. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.